When we look at gold or silver in the jewelry store, it sparkles and shines, free from spot and blemish, ready to be worn as that beautiful ring or necklace. What we don't always think about is that these precious metals don't come out of the ground that way. When the miner first gets his hand on a precious metal, it is mixed with impurities. In order to become that shiny, pure piece of metal we like to wear, it has to go through a refining process. Through a very hot fire, a fire so hot that it looks like it would actually destroy the metal, impurities are burned away, to leave you with that precious metal that is pure, strong, and now worth significantly more in the eyes of others. In Malachi's prophecy today, we hear that the people of Israel were like an impure metal in need of refinement. Once again, they weren't behaving like God's pure, holy people. Instead, they were impure. An example of their impurity could be seen in the offerings that they were giving to God. Instead of giving God their very best offerings, the first fruits of their labors, they were coming to God and giving him the lame, blind, and sick animals while saving the best for themselves. Imagine coming to God and saying, God, I know you want the first fruits, but here are my leftovers. I hope this makes you happy. It doesn't. God had commanded his people to give him the very best offerings from a faithful heart, not leftovers given out of complacent unbelief. Giving the best offerings that they could have done should not have been a big deal to the people of Israel if they would have remembered that the very offerings they had to give came from God in the first place. It's kind of like tithing for the church for the sake of the ministry. It's really not a big deal when we keep in mind that the wealth we do have has come from God in the first place. It is God who provides everything that we need for the support and needs of our body. But in Malachi, a glorious book that we don't read very often, it's not just the fact that the people of Israel were not giving God the first fruits of their offerings. That wasn't the only thing that was displeasing the Lord, their God. They also were not treating their neighbor the way they should have been. They were not loving their neighbor as themselves. They were not treating their neighbor with love and compassion, which should not surprise us, given the fact that their relationship with God was not where it should have been. How can one properly love the neighbor when they don't properly love God? And the answer is, you can't. Now, the sins taking place in Malachi's Israel are not all that different from the sins that go on today. There were sorcerers, no, not the harmless Harry Potter kind, but these sorcerers actually did practice dangerous witchcraft, and they cast spells on the people. There were those who practiced adultery. There were those who swore falsely. There were those who oppressed hired workers, the widows, the orphans, the sojourner. All in all, friends, there were too many people under Malachi's watch who did not fear God and live by his word. And because of all of this, Malachi calls them an impure people, an unclean people lacking faith. Lacking faith in Yahweh. It showed in their offerings they were giving, and in the way they treated one another. Therefore, godly refinement was needed. Now, the pending problem in Malachi is what the prophet says in these words. Who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? Who can endure the sight of the holy, almighty God? Who can endure the presence of Yahweh, the consuming fire who destroys nations and banishes the unrepentant from his presence? Not the unbeliever. Not the one who is impure and unclean on account of sin. Sin has no place in the fiery presence of our holy God. This is the problem that Malachi's impure congregation was up against, and it's a problem that we too face, brothers and sisters. Who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? This is Malachi's question, and it's a question that we need to have an answer to. Now, Malachi is what we call a minor prophet. But the words that Malachi say are still very pertinent for us today. No doubt the word of our great God, who says in Malachi, I, the Lord, do not change. I, the Lord, do not change. Friends, God takes sin just as seriously today as he did in the days of Malachi. The good news, however, is despite the situation of Israel and the sins of the people, God would not leave his people to die in their sins. He is gracious, he is loving, and he remembers his promises, especially his promise to refine and purify his people like gold and silver, that they may be righteous and then, out of a righteousness of faith, present offerings pleasing to the Lord their God. I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. This is God's gift to you, Christian. Pastor, I have no relationship to the bloodline of Jacob. I'm a German, remember? Or I'm Italian, or I'm Polish, or I'm a mutt. That may be, but you are a child of Jacob when you are a child of Abraham. And you are children of Abraham not because of the blood running through your veins, but you are a child of Abraham by faith in Christ. By faith in God's covenant and promise, you are very much a child of Jacob, and because of that, you will not be consumed. Even at death, you will live forever. Your life will not end. How can this be? How can a promise that sounds so good be for sinners like you and a sinner like me? When you think about it, sin is like that stain you just can't get rid of. It's like pouring red wine on a white shirt, after which you can't help but notice it, and no matter how hard you wash, you just can't get rid of the stain. Our memories might not be good in some areas, but usually they are very good at storing and conjuring up those past sins that we wish we could forget. Wouldn't it be great if we had no memory of the sins that we committed in the past? Wouldn't it be great if past sins didn't continue to sting us long after they were committed? Too often they do, Christian. Too often they do. When God's mighty law is doing its work, convicting you, showing you what you have done to be wrong and displeasing in the eyes of the Lord your God, then the law is doing what it is supposed to do, and that is showing your sin and reminding you of your impurity and your uncleanness. You're like precious metal, but with too many impurities. The good news, however, is that God has declared unto you a promise, friends, a promise to purify and cleanse you so much and so well that he now promises you that you will be able to stand and endure in his mighty presence. Here the question might arise, Pastor, this refinement that Malachi is talking about, does it take place now, or will it take place sometime in the future? Some of you might feel as if you are being refined right now as I speak. The pressures of life, marriage, raising children, a failing body, holding down a job that you're not too fond of, the list goes on and on, all these things take their toll on the body. Suffering and affliction are part and parcel to the Christian life. Scripture does not hide this fact. In this fallen world, you will have trouble. So much, Christian, that at times don't be surprised if you feel as if you are living in one big giant furnace just waiting to die. The fires of tribulation hit us all. The fiery furnace of this life affects us all. Be patient. Be steadfast. Hold on to the faith that you have been given. Christian, just like the refiner's fire makes a metal pure and strong, the refining fires of affliction and suffering in this life can produce great results in the life of the Christian. Don't believe me? Hear the words of St. Paul, who says to the Romans these words, "We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." That's Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. God does not change, Christian, therefore you will not be consumed. God has promised to purify you and make you his own. The stained garments of sin that we all wear are replaced your pure, white, righteous garments, yours given in the waters of holy baptism by faith in your great God and Savior Jesus Christ. This Advent season, we look forward to the celebration of our Lord's birth at Christmas time, but as has been said before, we also look forward to that time when our Lord will come again in great power and in great glory. And he has declared unto his people that when he does come again, the believers can hold their heads high because redemption is near. The believer in Christ can hold his or her head high because God has declared unto you your impurities, spots, blemishes, your sins have been cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Let us not forget the one who went to the cross to bear the almighty wrath of God for the sins of the world. On account of the work of Christ, you now have a promise, Christian. By faith in our Redeemer, all of your impurities, all of your unclean transgressions and sins have been paid for in full, atoned by the blood who bore the wrath of God, the only begotten Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. This gift, this promise was for Israel. This gift, this promise, Christian, is for you. It is for you this Advent season and certainly beyond. Live in peace with one another. Love your neighbor as you love yourself, and do not forget the great love and mercy God has showered upon you. Go in the holiness and the purity, the cleanliness of God that is yours in Jesus Christ. Christian, you will not be consumed. The promise is you will live forever, even in death, on account of our great God and our Savior Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus from now until life everlasting. Amen.